Welcome to episode 966 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries.
The sun was beginning to dip below the horizon, casting long shadows across the rugged Macedonian landscape as Paul, Silas, and Timothy made their way along the well-trodden Roman road toward Thessalonica. The air was thick with the scent of pine and earth, and the distant hum of the city they approached grew louder with each step. This was a city of importance, a bustling hub of commerce and culture, where trade routes converged and ideas flowed as freely as goods. Paul knew that Thessalonica, with its strategic location and diverse population, was fertile ground for the gospel. Yet, as he walked, a sense of foreboding hung over him, a whisper of the trials that might await them in this new city. Thessalonica, with its white marble buildings and narrow, winding streets, stood in stark contrast to the rugged terrain they had just traversed. The trio entered the city at dusk, greeted by the lively sounds of merchants packing up their stalls, the distant clatter of horses' hooves on cobblestone, and the low murmur of conversations in many tongues, Greek, Latin, Aramaic. The smell of roasting meat and freshly baked bread wafted through the air, tempting them after the long journey. But Paul's mind was elsewhere, already strategizing about where to begin the mission. Paul knew the synagogue would be their first stop. In every city, it was his custom to start with his own people, the Jews, sharing with them the fulfillment of the scriptures in the person of Jesus the Messiah. As they walked through the crowded streets, Paul felt a familiar mix of anticipation and anxiety. He knew that the message he carried was life-changing, but he also knew that it was often met with resistance, even hostility. The synagogue in Thessalonica was modest, yet it buzzed with the energy of a vibrant Jewish community. Inside, the air was cool, with the scent of old parchment and burning oil lamps filling the space. Paul, standing amidst the gathered worshipers, could feel the weight of their expectations, their skepticism, and their hopes. He took a deep breath, his heart steadying as he began to speak, his voice echoing in the quiet room.
Brothers and sisters, you know the scriptures well. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, they all point to a coming Messiah, the anointed one who would redeem Israel and restore God's kingdom. Today I stand before you to declare that this Messiah has come, and his name is Jesus of Nazareth. He fulfilled every prophecy concerning the Messiah. Born of a virgin, from the lineage of David, he performed mighty works, healed the sick, and proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. But most importantly, he was the suffering servant foretold by Isaiah, the one who bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was the one spoken of by Zechariah, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And by his wounds, we are healed. On a cross he was hung high. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man was lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. This Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, is the Messiah you have been waiting for. He is the hope of Israel and the light to the nations.
Paul's words carried the weight of conviction, his voice unwavering as he unfolded the prophecies they knew so well, yet had not fully understood. The following Sabbath, Paul returned to the synagogue.
Sons and daughters of Abraham, some of you may ask, how could the Messiah be crucified? Was he not supposed to be a mighty king who would overthrow our oppressors? Yet scripture teaches us that the Messiah must suffer and die to accomplish the redemption of God's people. As the psalmist wrote, "They have pierced my hands and my feet, and my God, why have you forsaken me?" These were the very words spoken by Jesus as he hung on the cross. But the story does not end with his death. On the third day, just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, Jesus rose from the grave, conquering sin and death. The resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith. It is the divine vindication of Jesus' identity as the Son of God, and the assurance that those who believe in him will also be raised to eternal life. Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Among the listeners, some were captivated by Paul's message. They felt their hearts stir as the pieces of the puzzle fell into place, and their eyes filled with understanding. Paul and his companions visited the homes of those who were receptive, including Jason, and several prominent women of the city. In these more intimate settings, Paul spent time answering questions, providing deeper explanations of the scriptures, and teaching about the life and teachings of Jesus. Paul and his team also took to the marketplace, a central hub of activity, where they engaged with Gentiles and those who were not regular attendees at the synagogue. The marketplace was not only a place of commerce, but also of ideas, where philosophers, traders, and everyday citizens gathered. Paul, known for his boldness, reasoned with passersby, sharing the gospel with anyone willing to listen. On the third Sabbath, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were again in the synagogue.
Today, I offer you an invitation to new life in Christ Jesus. The law of Moses, which we have sought to keep, is holy and good, but it cannot save us from the power of sin. It points us to our need for a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. Through his death and resurrection, God has opened a new and living way for us to be reconciled to him. It is not by works of the law that we are justified, but by faith in Jesus Christ. In him we find forgiveness of sins, freedom from the bondage of the law, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the promise that was given to Abraham and his descendants, to you and to me, that through faith we become children of God, heirs to the promise of eternal life. Come, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. This is the good news I proclaim to you today.
Many were excited by the promise and hope of the gospel, but not everyone in the synagogue welcomed Paul's message. In the back of the room, murmurs of dissent began to rise, eyes narrowing with suspicion, faces hardening in opposition. A group of Jews, clinging to their traditions and power, could not accept this new teaching that seemed to upend everything they held dear. As Paul continued, the seeds of discord took root in their hearts, growing into a resolve to silence him. Outside the synagogue, the city's daily life continued, oblivious to the storm brewing within. But soon, the unrest spilled out into the streets. Those opposed to Paul's message, filled with jealousy and anger, conspired together. They stirred up trouble, whispering half-truths and outright lies in the ears of the city's leaders, and gathering a mob of unsavory characters to do their bidding. The air, once filled with the sounds of peaceful evening activity, now buzzed with tension as the mob surged toward the house of Jason, where Paul and his companions were staying. The mob's approach was like the gathering of a dark cloud, heavy with impending violence. Shouts rang out, echoing off the stone walls as they reached Jason's house. Inside, Paul, Silas, and Timothy knew their time in Thessalonica was coming to an abrupt end. The knocking on the door wasn't a polite request, but an urgent pounding that reverberated through the room. Jason, his face pale with fear yet resolute, looked at Paul, who nodded, understanding the gravity of the situation. As the door burst open, Paul's mind raced. He had been in this situation before, persecuted, hunted, chased out of towns for the very same message. But he also knew that the work here was not yet done, and the believers in Thessalonica needed protection. Silently, they slipped out the back, leaving Jason to face the mob's wrath. Paul's heart ached as they fled into the night, the shouts and threats of the mob ringing in his ears, mingling with the distant call of the sea. Under the cover of darkness, the trio made their way to Berea, their hearts heavy, but their resolve unbroken. The stars above seemed to mock the chaos below, twinkling indifferently as they pressed on. Paul knew that the seeds of faith had been planted in Thessalonica, but he also knew that those seeds would face fierce opposition. As they journeyed through the night, Paul's thoughts turned to the believers they had left behind, the fledgling church now standing alone in a hostile city. He prayed silently, his lips moving in the darkness, asking for protection and strength for those who would continue the work in their absence. And as they disappeared into the shadows, Paul couldn't shake the feeling that this was only the beginning of the trials that awaited them and the church in the days to come. Paul understood that the work of the gospel often comes with challenges and opposition. The believers in Thessalonica were left to face persecution and trials, yet their faith was not in vain. Paul wondered when he might return to encourage them, reminding them that they were chosen by God, and that their endurance in the face of suffering would be a testimony to their genuine faith. Just as Paul trusted God to protect and strengthen the Thessalonian church, we too must trust that God will sustain us in our walk of faith, even when we face difficulties and uncertainty. Our faith is not meant to be lived out in isolation, nor is it dependent on the presence of a particular leader or teacher. The same Spirit that empowered Paul, Silas, and Timothy is with us today, guiding, teaching, and sustaining us. Whether we are planting seeds of faith, nurturing new believers, or standing firm in the face of opposition, we can trust that God is at work, accomplishing his purposes through us.
to be continued.